Good morning. It's good to see everyone with us this morning. Our text is on the board this morning. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn with me to John, the 10th chapter, and we'll start in verse 22. And it says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name that bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Let us go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we thank you for this day and the many blessings that you have given us. And Lord, we're so thankful for so many things. Lord, this morning we just, and this week, want to pause and truly be thankful and worshipful of the many things you have done for us. And Lord, especially Jesus Christ and him dying on the cross, Lord, and raising again the third day. And Lord, we're so thankful for his interceding for us, even at this moment. Lord, just ask that you'll continue to watch and care over us and be with your word as it goes forth. If there be any here that do not know you as their Savior, Lord, they accept you before it's everlasting too late. Ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to thank Brother Kevin for putting together our Thanksgiving worship song service and the reading. Appreciated that very much. I thought I would use just a moment this morning. Brother Kevin has put together the praying for your pastor and pastor's wife, really appreciate the church doing that, and I just thought I'd take a minute this morning kind of talking about things that we're thankful for. I am so thankful for our church. I'm so thankful for you. You are such an encouragement. Sometimes pastoring can be a challenge, but you make it so easy, and it's such a encouragement to know that you're praying for me and that you're praying for my wife. I have been kind of following along, and I know you're supposed to be praying for me, but I've been praying for you too, and the list Brother Kevin has put together is excellent. Really appreciate him leading out in that. We need one another. Appreciated Brother Hunter's thoughts this morning. We need to encourage one another. I need your encouragement, and in so doing, I will try to encourage you. I'm just so thankful for our church and for each and every one that God has brought our way. Thank you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your encouraging words, and thank you for your prayers. This morning, kind of with the theme of Thanksgiving, we're going to look in John, the 10th chapter. And John, the 10th chapter, is an interesting chapter in that it starts off with Jesus talking about the sheepfold and talking about the shepherd. And if you read verses 1 through 5, Jesus literally gives a parable there. And he says, "Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and robber." And then Jesus goes on and he says, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." And throughout the rest of this chapter, we have the theme of Jesus is the shepherd. And when he talks about, "I am the door," he's talking about, "I am the door to the sheepfold. I'm the one that, except coming by me, you cannot enter into the sheepfold. But it's kind of interesting that this whole chapter has a theme. Now, one of the things you might have noticed in John, that there are some themes. In the fourth chapter, Jesus talked about living water. In chapter 5 and 6, Jesus talked about living bread, the bread of life. And then, and now tonight, or this morning, we're going to talk about, I won't preach that long till night, I promise. This morning, we're going to talk about Jesus as the shepherd, but I want to do it a little bit different. There's some great theology here, but I want to take it from the theme of Thanksgiving. And so, I just want to pull out, there's seven things I want us to look at in this chapter, in surrounding the thought that Jesus has that he is the shepherd, that Jesus declares about himself, and that I am thankful for. So this morning we're going to talk about seven things declared by Jesus that I am thankful for, that we should be thankful for. We live in a society that is going against God, that's going against morality. It was just a few years ago that different states had voted against gay marriages and drugs and different things, and now these things are starting to pass. And so, as a result of this, we live in a world that is very anti-God. One of the things that this isn't new. People fighting God isn't new. Okay? It happened in Christ's time. It happened in the Old Testament. If you don't have a relationship with God, you're at odds with God. There are seven things that Jesus declared that we need to know, that we can take great comfort in, that we can be thankful for, and can help us in sharing with the world who Jesus is. So let's talk about seven things. Seven things declared by Jesus in John the 10th chapter that I am thankful for. And the first one, Jesus declared, I am the door. If you go to, and we're going to be, most of the verses are going to be in John the 10th chapter. I'd encourage you to turn there and kind of follow along. And Jesus says, then Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, or it is a truth. And again, he engages them and he says, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out, and find pasture. Now, if you go back and read verses 1 through 5, the parable Jesus is talking about, the sheepfold. And oftentimes it would be a outcropping of rocks or some kind of an area or a cave in which they would put the animals in. And then somebody, a shepherd or somebody, would be the gatekeeper. And literally they would lay in front of the gate. And they wouldn't let anyone in that shouldn't be in. So if somebody was going to get to the sheep, the only way in, because the gatekeeper, the shepherd, wasn't going to let them in, they would have to climb in an unaccepted, unapproved way. And Jesus said, he called them thieves and robbers. So for us to have access to God's people and not to come through Jesus Christ is robbing God. I mean, that's what he's talking about. And there's so many things that rob God and God's people and deceive God's people. And that's what we're talking about here. And Jesus said, I am the door. He made it really clear. What is the purpose of a door? Hey, Jeffrey, if you wanted to go outside, how would you go outside? By the door? And what if you couldn't use the door? How would you go outside? It's kind of hard. Window, okay? And if you didn't use a window, how would you go outside? It gets kind of tough, huh? How old are you? He's six. Jeffrey knows what a door's for. To go outside. To have access. To enter and to exit. To come in and go out. And Jesus said, I am the door. In John, the 14th chapter, and we're going to get there. We'll talk about this a little bit more. But in John, the 14th chapter, when we get to the 14th chapter, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door, Jesus says. If you want a relationship with God, there's not many, many roads lead to heaven. There's not many roads lead, you know, all it takes is sincerity. There are going to be a lot of sincere people in hell. Jesus says, I am the door. If you want a relationship with God, you will do it through me. He says, and even explains what it means. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall what? Be saved. Go in. Go out. Find pasture. Have a relationship with God. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am so thankful that Jesus is the door. How would you like to be in a room with no door? I didn't get that, but she answered my question, whatever it was. What'd she say? The room would be a secret. Okay, no way in, no way out. So here's the thing. Jesus is that access. And I'm so thankful that God has said that there is a way to have a relationship with him. And Brother Hunter gave us a great lesson this morning in showing how all the way from Genesis, right after Adam and Eve sinned, God said, I got a plan. It's going to come through the seed of a woman. And he, as he goes through the Old Testament prophecy, it starts very generic. Seed of a woman. The Christ will come by or through a woman. And then it starts getting more specific through the nation Israel, through the tribe of Judah, through the house of David, the little town of Bethlehem. And it starts, the prophecies start getting so very specific. And God said, this is my plan, that in order to have a relationship with me, it has to be through Jesus Christ. The second thing that I am thankful for is Jesus declared that he gives abundant life. In John 10:10, Jesus said, again, the theme being shepherds, right? Shepherds and sheep. He says, the thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. He says, so we got this sheepfold here, and we have someone who wants to take what isn't his, and he wants to do harm. And some people, you know, these sheep are taken out and they don't know any better, and they follow and are merry and happy until they're destroyed. There are so many people that are being led astray and being hurt and destroyed because they aren't the door, and they're not following Christ. And Jesus says, look at what the offer is. Following something that isn't of God, or following me. And he says, I have come. I haven't come for to steal, to kill, to destroy. Remember what Jesus said in John, the third chapter, to Nicodemus? I have not come to condemn. You're condemned already. I've come that you may have life, that you might be saved, that you might know God. And in order to do that, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life. And what's so fascinating, God says, you know, I'm not just going to give you life. I'm not just going to save you. I'm not just going to take you from hell and get rid of the punishment, but I'd like to give you something even more. Not only in the future, in a relationship with God, and in future rewards and promises, but even in life now, I want to give you something that is abundant life. That is more than just an existence, but eternal life and life with a purpose. You know, we talk sometimes that how important is it, our relationship with God and life having value. Without a relationship with God, life doesn't have any value. Think about that. I mean, if there is no God, if there is no eternity, if there is no hope after this life, then what matter? What does it matter what I do now? Think about that. What difference does it make? But if there's value to life, and if there's hope after this life, then there is value in what I do now. And Jesus says, this life that I gives you has value, has purpose, an abundant life. I'm so thankful that God saved me. When I was 13 years old, that I stopped wrestling with God and decided to surrender and to accept Jesus as my personal Savior. And when I did that, I didn't understand all that I was getting. All I knew is that I was going to hell and I didn't want to go to hell. And so God took care of that. But what he gave me was much more than just eternal life. He gave me abundant life. Life with a purpose. Life with value. The third thing I want to talk about this morning that I am thankful for that Jesus declared is Jesus declared he is the good shepherd. We know what a shepherd does. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And they lived in a culture in which they were herdsmen and farmers, and they understood exactly when Jesus used the illustration of a shepherd and what a shepherd would do, and to the extent that a shepherd would take care of his sheep. Jesus gave the illustration of a man having 100 sheep, and if he lost 1% of his flock, that 1% is so important that the man would leave the 99 and he would go find the one that was lost. And then when he found it, would come rejoicing. And he used that as an illustration to show that when one is saved, there is also rejoicing in heaven. And so Jesus used this illustration for people to understand how dedicated he was to those that followed him, I am the good shepherd. Who can quote Psalms 23? Don't even have to do the whole thing. Can you just get me started? Can you start it? Psalms 23? Good job. Psalms 23. The Lord is everybody else's shepherd. Is that what it says, JJ? What does it say? My shepherd. Here's the question. Jesus has declared himself the good shepherd. And Jesus says, a good shepherd takes care of a sheep. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And he's declared himself a good shepherd. In the verses that we read as a text, he says, you aren't my sheep because you don't believe. Here's the thing. Are you, or is Jesus your shepherd? That's the question. Do you know him as your Savior? And if you know him as your Savior, do you know him as your Lord? Are you following him and being obedient with him? Many years ago, I saw a painting and wished I had a copy of it, a little print. I've never come across it again. It was a man who was a pastor, and he was an artist. And he painted this beautiful rolling hills and a shepherd standing on it with all these sheep around him. And off, kind of over in the corner on another little hill, was another sheep that had a really kind of you're not going to get me look. Sometimes that's the way we are with our Lord, that, you know, you're not going to be my Lord. You're not going to be my shepherd. Sheep follow everything and anything. But are we following our shepherd? We know what Psalms 23 says, and it's about God being our shepherd. Are you familiar with Psalms 139? It's kind of an interesting take on this idea of allowing God to lead us. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Psalmist David is kind of saying, I can't escape you. I might as well follow you. I can't get from your presence. He goes on and he says, and if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there. And look at the language. Even there shall thy hand lead me. As a shepherd leads, and thy right hand shall hold me. Jesus declares, I am the good shepherd. But in Psalms 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd? Are you following Jesus Christ as your shepherd? The fourth thing, Jesus declared that he knows his sheep. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. You know, this is sometimes kind of good and bad. It's comforting to know that God knows me, that God understands me. And in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, it says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, because we have this high priest that is touched in all points like as we are. And yet, he is without sin. And so we should be able to come boldly because he understands what we've gone through. And then there's so many verses that talk about that we can't do anything in secret that we may be able to keep everyone else from knowing. God knows. And God knows us intimately. Jesus says in reference to this, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows. We can't we can't hide from God. And what a comfort it is to know, to just say, okay, Lord, I know you know, and just turn it over. And but sometimes we want to hide from God, and that idea of God knowing, we can't hide. We are open, an open book laid bare before God. And Jesus says, I know my sheep. And here's the comfort in that. If he knows us, he can take care of us. He knows what we need. There in Matthew, the 10th chapter, the whole idea around this, the very hairs on your head are numbered. He goes on and he talks about the sparrows and how that they're purchased by so little. In other words, they have such little value. But if God places value and takes care of sparrows, don't you think that he's going to take care of you more than that? Don't you have more value than that? God knows us. And God wants to know us intimately by having a relationship with us. The fifth thing I want us to talk about is Jesus declared that he lays down his life for his sheep. In John 10, verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It's kind of interesting. Jesus has come and he's declaring that he is the Christ, and they get upset when he says that he is the Son of God. And they wanted him to be the Christ, but they didn't want him to be their Savior. They didn't understand that they needed their sins forgiven. And Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I will die. I lay down my life. I want you to get the language. I lay down my life. He didn't say, I would if I had to. It's, I lay down. I will lay down my life for my sheep. Colossians says this, Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus said, I lay down my life. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 8, and being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. I lay down my life for my sheep, even the death of the cross. I'm so thankful that Jesus is my shepherd. I'm so thankful he was willing to lay down his life for me. But I'm thankful that that wasn't all he was willing to do. Here in that 10th chapter, Jesus declared that he has power over death. In John 10, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. I lay down my life. Period? No, it goes on, doesn't it? That I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment I have received of my Father. I've often heard people discuss, and I've read people say, you know, who killed Jesus, and there was even a time in society I know people have said, well, there was a hatred for the Jews because they killed Jesus. Well, when we look at the Bible, we understand who Jesus was and what he was about. Nobody killed Jesus in that they took his life. Jesus died. Who's responsible for the death of Jesus? I am as responsible as anybody else, for he died for my sins. He died for all of our sins, right? His life, he said, I am going to die. That was just the mechanism by which he used. Remember what Jesus said on the cross? Father, forgive them. Father, let's not make this them responsible for this. This is what we're doing to forgive them of sin. And Jesus said, I laid down my life that I might take it again. And if I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it. There are seven things that Jesus said on the cross, and one of those was when, after he said it is finished, declared it is finished, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And it literally says, and he gave up the ghost, or he died. They didn't kill him. Jesus says, it's time, my spirit, to leave. And he left, and he died. I have power to declare when I'm dead. And if I have power to do that, I have power of life to bring it back to life. And what is great about that, if Jesus has power over death in his life, he can have power over death in our life. In John 2, verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And we all understand that Jesus was talking about the resurrection in 3 days after his death on the cross. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, as declared in John the 10th chapter, that I am thankful for, Jesus declares that he keeps us eternally safe. And Jesus says, and I give unto them eternal life. You know, it's a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave. And Jesus says this gift, this eternal life. And it says, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We talk about salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith. I'm going to butcher that. I had another thought in my head. Sorry. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not what I do. The only thing that I have to do is receive the gift. And I've given you examples. We buy gifts at Christmas. And if someone doesn't receive their gift, it stays under the tree. It's God has given us a gift. And this gift is eternal life. John 5:24 says that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. And it is present tense. We possess it. And if I possess eternal life and it at some point stops, it was never eternal, was it? That's the first thing. Jesus says, I give them eternal life. If your eternal life can end, Jesus is a liar. That's one. And they shall never perish. That is what eternal life is. That's what he gives us. Never to again go back to destruction. Always have a relationship with God. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I like this example. Jesus says, I will give you an illustration. Jesus is God, right? He declared himself to be God. And John says that if it wasn't for Jesus, nothing would have been created. So Jesus is big enough in deity and as God that by him all things exist, right? That's what it says. And Jesus says, let me give you an illustration. I am so big and powerful that no man can take you out of my hand. If I had one of the children come up and try to take this out of my hand, do you think I'm bigger than they are? Oh, they might hurt my finger, but they're not going to take it out of my hand if I don't want them to, right? And Jesus gives the illustration. I am the one that keeps you safe. Your eternal life is in my hand. And if that's not good enough, he says, okay, let's put God's hand on top of that. Double security in that we have eternal life. I'm so thankful for what Jesus gives us. Not only has he died for us. Oh, there it is. It's in my hand. Through Jesus, we can have access to God. He gives us not just change our direction in that we're going to hell and going to go to heaven, but life abundantly. Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus knows us. He laid down his life for us. He has power over death. And if he has power over his death, he has power over our death. And he keeps us eternally safe. So what does all that mean? What is the benefit of all that? It's kind of interesting. This is what Jesus declared there in the 10th chapter. And as we come to the end of that chapter, the Jews, Jesus has this dialogue with them, and he says, say ye of him. So you say of me, you say of the one that is going to come, and I declare that I am him. You say of him whom the Father hath sanctified, who God has set apart and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God. Because I say I am the Son of God, the very one that God has set apart, you say I'm a liar. And Jesus goes on and he says, if I do not the works of my Father, don't believe me. Believe me not. It doesn't matter, Jesus says. It doesn't matter what I say. What I do is as important as what I say. There's a lot of people who say lots of things, who say I'm the Christ, or I can do this, or I can do that, but if their works don't bear them out, Jesus says, believe me not. Don't believe it. But look at what he says. Verse 38. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works. You know what God has said the Christ is going to do. You know the works he's going to bring. You know the miracles. We've been looking in the book of John, and we've looked at the six miracles that John records of Jesus Christ. And John says at the end of the book, he says, these are written that ye might believe. He said, I could write much more, but this is enough. I've written these that ye might believe. Believe the works. Do you believe what Jesus has declared? We've looked at seven of them. Do you believe what we've been talking about, the work he has done? He has died for you. He has taken up his life. He has given you eternal life. If you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, believe the works. And this is why, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am him. That I am the Christ. That I am the Messiah. You know, all the things we've been looking about in John and the seven things we talked about this morning that Jesus declared, those are all well and good. but have you applied it to your life? Is he your entrance to a relationship with God? Is he your good shepherd? Or do you struggle? And he says, but if I do, believe the works. And the Apostle John says, these are written that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the whole purpose of the Gospel of John. Let's all stand. If the piano song leader will come forward.